African politicians, scarred by a century of resource-driven European colonialism, feared that the Bush administration viewed their oil as analogous to the oil of the Persian Gulf, as a vital American interest, one that might warrant military intervention, at least in extremis. Bush officials imagined themselves striking a more nuanced, post-colonial posture, one that emphasized encouraging African states to modernize and to rise from poverty. When an American official stood at a lectern flanked by U.S. Navy flags and spoke about oil security, however, the message was unavoidable. West Africa mattered to the United States in part because it possessed critical supplies of energy, and the American military stood ready to ensure oil flowed. Would a U.S. military response to the Gulf of Guinea's struggles with piracy and insurgency serve ExxonMobil's interests? Before the MEND uprising of early 2006, the major American oil corporations in Nigeria preferred to handle their own security problems in the region. Bunkering, or theft of oil, exacerbated corruption, militia violence, and inequality, but it was not necessarily a problem for ExxonMobil because its contracts were written to absolve it from the costs of any thefts, and it was not necessarily a problem for global oil supply because the stolen oil ultimately reached international markets. As a practical matter, there was nothing to be done with stolen Nigerian crude but sell it. Connie Newman, Jendayi Fraser's predecessor at State, recalled that in 2004 and 2005, as the trouble in the Delta first began to bubble, oil representatives seemed to have little interest in sharing intelligence or otherwise taking on the problem in partnership with the Bush administration. State officials who visited Nigeria flew over the Delta in Chevron or ExxonMobil helicopters, from which their guides would point out barges of the type routinely used in oil thefts, as if such larceny were part of the natural landscape. "You guys know about this bunkering. The militants don't have tankers," Newman argued when oil company liaisons visited her at Foggy Bottom. "I'm not saying you're doing it, but you know who's doing it, and you could share that information with us." But the companies demurred. The kidnapping and offshore piracy of 2006 started to alter their attitudes. "The cooperation of the oil companies turned 180 degrees, recalled a U.S. official in Nigeria at the time. "The companies offered new levels of coordination and information sharing." The kidnapping surge was not the only new challenge to ExxonMobil. The corporation had begun to tow into Nigeria's deep water, one after another, massive offshore production vessels known as FPSOs, which stood for floating, production, storage, and offloading. These were oil production platforms in the form of enormous ships that hovered above oil fields, obviating the need to build pylons and platforms in such deep ocean water. The vessels were so huge and economically important, however, that they presented a significant terrorist target, a U.S. government assessment concluded. The question facing Chaplin, ExxonMobil Global Security, and Tillerson was how to protect this investment. The corporation projected that by 2010, it would have one of the world's largest fleets of SFPOs floating off the Delta, some of them away from Akwa Ibom, and in territory more accessible by Nigeria's most aggressive speedboat militants. Each vessel would produce 100,000 to 250,000 barrels a day of oil and other liquid products. Among other things, they were potentially combustible. As trouble rose in Akwa Ibom, Chaplin had been reluctant to militarize ExxonMobil's response or to encourage Nigeria's government to do so. ExxonMobil initially decided against asking the Nigerian Navy to protect its offshore fleet. Chaplin saw the Navy as amateurish, with broken boats and no fuel. Some of its officers were probably involved with the militants in oil theft rings, as everyone in the Nigerian officer corps retires with money. As for encouraging the Nigerian army to enter the Delta and attack the militants operating there, the military was not an option that ExxonMobil hoped for, Chaplin said, because an incursion would aggravate the problem by antagonizing local communities. The corporation has decided to go light on security out of concern that the presence of security would not function as a deterrent, but would be seen as a challenge to the militants to attack the facility, the Lagos consulate reported. that a company would have to engage in these types of calculations for an investment of this magnitude demonstrates the extent to which the security environment for oil companies has descended. It got worse. MEND and similar units attacked ExxonMobil supply boats as they moved through narrow channels and riverways. The corporation organized its supply ships into convoys for greater protection, but Chaplin found the Nigerian forces were not willing or able to supply adequate security. The country's wealth depended upon coastal oil production, but it lacked the basics of a coast guard. In Washington, recalled a State Department official involved as the attacks worsened, "the oil companies kept telling us, 'God damn it, can't the CIA and the Navy solve this problem? We'll tell you where they, the militants, are. Why can't you fix this swampy corner? It's a bunch of pirates. Why can't you just send the Navy in there and fix this?'" The Pentagon had been reviewing that very question since at least 2004. At that time, Africa fell to the European Command, headquartered in Germany. That was an example of how tacked on and neglected Africa policy often had been. September 11 had galvanized attention to the threat of Al-Qaeda-inspired terrorists taking root in ungoverned spaces, of which Africa had many. With Taliban-inspired militias forming in northern Nigeria and MEND-inspired oil insurgents and criminals rising in the south of the country, Nigeria has the possibility of becoming the next Pakistan within 25 years. Johnny Carson, then the Bush administration's National Intelligence Officer for Africa, later noted. The growing share of oil imported into the United States from West Africa by American companies, particularly from Nigeria and Angola, gradually attracted the Pentagon's attention. A proposal to form a distinct Africa command at the U.S. Department of Defense, a command that would be hived off from the European command, had surfaced within the Pentagon as far back as the late 1990s, but it was not until Delta militancy exploded after 2005 that the plan gained support from Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. The command began initial operations in October 2007, headquartered at Stuttgart, Germany.